Welcome to the Dads on the Fly podcast. I'm Joshua Simmons. Dads on the Fly is brought to you by Trout Routes, the number one mapping resource for trout anglers. Turtlebox Audio, the loudest, most rugged outdoor speaker. And Catch Cam Nets, where you can build your own net.
And I'm Caleb Simmons. Thanks for joining with me and my brother as we discuss fly fishing, fatherhood, and faith, and the intermingling of it all. Well, hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 130 of the Dads on the Fly podcast. I am Caleb Simmons down in the studio with my brother, Joshua. Joshua, what's going on, man?
Dude, we're doing great. We're going to dive right in today because we have just a cool episode, story, recap. So I guess all the other stuff maybe that we usually do at the beginning, checking on everybody, letting them know what's going on in the fishing world, we'll save to the end. Does that work?
We can do that. Yeah, sure. If you want to do that, let's fire it up.
Is that okay?
I mean, yeah, that's what we do
all right.
On the fly.
This episode is all about our weekend fishing trip, or our Saturday fishing. Not like we got to fish all weekend, but our Saturday fishing trip. And that's what this episode is going to be. And so joining us on the show today are the two gentlemen. I would say we fished with them, but really we just watched them catch fish.
We watched them catch fish. But
this all started kind of at a – and so with us are Chad Fouts of Smoky Mountain Angler. Chad, how you doing?
How are you guys doing?
And Bailey, and I'll probably say his last name wrong. I don't want to ruin that. But
Bailey Landreth.
Bailey Landreth.
It's not that hard.
But Bailey,
got it, Caleb.
Fellow Knoxville resident who met us and fished. And Bailey's been to the Dads on the Fly retreat. So he's kind of becoming a regular. At this point, he may just start coming in on shows.
Just dropping him in every now and then.
So Bailey, how you doing, man?
I'm great. I'll wait till after the episode for you to decide that or not.
Okay, so let's just get this started. Bailey and Chad both came to the Dads on the Fly movie premiere, which was really not a movie, but you know, short film premiere.
Yeah,
our like Dads on the Fly night that we invited anybody within pretty much 2 hours that loved the show. We invited them, and these two dudes came, which was really cool to us. Like, and so at that night, we were like, "Hey guys, why don't we?" And Chad had been saying, "You got to come fish with me. You got to come fish with me." So he's like, why don't we plan it? Well, we picked a date that night, which is the only way we go fishing for sure. Like if we put it in the shared calendar. So we put it in the shared calendar, March 9th, we're going to go fishing. And we had a plan. We were going to meet Chad, and Bailey was like, hey, I'll come too. It's a great plan. But as per normal, when we put a fishing trip in the calendar, the forecast is going to be fun.
Yeah, for sure. Feels like every time we've planned a trip. Now, we do a lot of like impromptu trips.
They never
have great weather. Yes. They're wonderful. But if we put a trip on the books, you might as well go ahead and mark it down. It's like going to either rain or freeze.
Our day. June Smalley trip, I'm already worried about.
Yeah.
That's like there's going to be like a tornado in Virginia. Like, oh, that's never happened. That's what I'm waiting on.
Well, you can't talk about it. But it was you can't talk about it because then it will happen.
It's just what we do. So, per normal, we start looking at the forecast and you know, like we're going 2 hours, we're driving 4 hours round trip, 2 hours there, 2 hours back. So I kind of like, I don't know, Chad would probably say a little differently. I started inquiring about what he's thinking. Is that a bad way to say it, Chad?
That is not a bad way to say it.
I mean, you can tell folks, Chad, like I started texting. Hey, is this going to work out?
I think the first text was, honestly, I think it was still in late February, maybe the first or second of March. We're like, hey, we're still on for the 9th, right? What about the weather? How's the weather going to be? And then from then on, it was like every 2 days. Hey, what about this rain? What about this rain coming? The thunderstorms are coming. I was like, we're good. The fish are wet. And it ended up dumping on us the whole time.
No, go ahead and say what you were about to say. Chad got to experience
in a week or two planning of trip what I experience every day of my life for the past 4 or 5 years when it comes to trying to fish with Joshua. Because anytime it's thinking about, you know, what are we going to do? It's about 1,000 different overthoughts of, are we going to the right place? You think the fish are going to eat here? They're going to eat there. Where do you think we should go? Well, the weather's looking better here. It's going to be 2 degrees warmer in this location than this location. Where do you think we should, you know, that's my life, Chad. So I'm glad that I have somebody else to share the, share this with now, you know, that we have this in common that we've experienced Joshua in the planning of a fishing trip. It's always something interesting.
What's up?
Yeah. Well, and then Bailey, you know, literally maybe two text messages. Hey, are we on? When, where do I meet?
As it should be.
Well, that's Bailey for you, man. That's great. I need people like Bailey in my life.
For sure.
try to, you know, I just try to show up with a good attitude and ready to go.
And a killer cast.
Yeah, that's what
and,
he did.
Maybe and look that, how it paid okay. off. That's why it happened the way it happened.
We'll get to that in a minute. But first of all, so we decided Friday night around 5:30, this is going to go. And I text Caleb, I was like, all right, we're going to leave at whatever time we left, 7:30, 7:45. And it was raining when we left, as we knew it was going to, but we had committed it was going to happen. Although the only thing that was funny, y'all don't know this, but when I finally sent Caleb the location to the boat launch,
oh gosh,
Caleb put it in his phone that night and it said 4 hours and 20 minutes. There was like this big wreck in the gorge. Oh. And Caleb was like, if we wake up in the morning, it says 4 hours, we are not going.
It's like, dude, that's a long way to go. To go float in the rain.
But luckily, when we put it in at 7:30, it was an hour and 54.
Yep, we were golden.
And so we headed off, and at 9, at about 9:10 or 9 o'clock, I was like, dude, we're going to be early. And Caleb had never experienced.
Dude, I got my first Bucky's trip into this. And I got to be honest, the fishing was great, but Bucky's was pretty fantastic.
I told my wife, we actually ate our entire day from Bucky's, if you think about
we
it.
We really did. We totally did.
Like, I didn't realize that until we started. But so I was like, hey, let's swing into Bucky's and we'll get some sandwiches and we'll have them for the boat. And he was like, what are you talking about? I was like, dude, trust me, you're going to want to go into Bucky's. And he had to go to the bathroom, the cleanest bathrooms in the world. So it's like a home run.
It was great, man. Bucky's was, it was worth, the hype is legit. I mean, I've always been like Bucky's. I've always thought it was like, you know, some just, hey, this is where the rednecks go hang out to go buy their fun stuff. And I mean, that's kind of true still, but it was good. I mean, it was a good experience. The food was good. I enjoyed it.
You guys have a take on Bucky's? Anybody?
I've got a love hate.
yes.
You know, kind of depends on my mood. If I'm trying to get somewhere, absolutely not. But if I've got a little time to kill, I do enjoy the brisket. The brisket sandwich is hard to beat. So
that's a great.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I'm a fan, just not 100% of the time.
Club sandwich is mine, but usually, you know, that's the most perfect guide pit stop now that it's open. Dude. It's got everything you need. And talk about cheap ice, but 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, it's not super busy or crazy, so you can get in and get out pretty quickly.
Yeah, and that was the thing. We got sandwiches that were just delicious, and then I got a melt on the way home. Like after we left y'all, we stopped again and got gas.
Oh yeah,
and got food. That's how we ate dinner. So like we ate our entire day from
breakfast there, and then we ate dinner there on the way home. It was pretty great.
Yeah, I was going to ask if y'all double dipped and stopped on the way home too. That's nice.
Absolutely. Yeah. Once I had it the first time, I was like, "We gotta go. We gotta get gas anyway." I mean, it's inevitable.
Well, at night, if you didn't know, they don't start the melts until 10:30, Chad. So I couldn't get a melt that morning.
Yeah, he didn't
so
get
I had
his club
to get
sandwich.
One on the way home. I had to get a club melt on the way home. But yeah, so that was, you know, one of the cool parts of the trip.
And hey, I got my wife some fudge on the way home. So like I came in clutch there, like got her a little surprise on the way back. Like, dude, Bucky's is where it's at. You can get everything. You take care of everybody.
It's a pretty big deal for you because your son ended up not feeling well and you were gone.
She ended up.
So she took one for the team.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah. All right. So let's get back to the fishing. So we pull in to the boat launch and we're setting up and our man Chad had just, he'd already dropped his wife's car at the shuttle.
Like,
we were ready to go. And when we get there, and there was a dude fly fishing when we got there at the dock. Yeah. I don't know if y'all saw it. Did you see that, Bailey?
Yeah, I did.
There's this dude out there just slinging flies. I was like, all right, cool. But first impression of the river, Caleb, when we pulled up?
Huge.
Yeah, it was way bigger than anything we were used to.
I remember getting out there and thinking, dang, man, like Vikings could like roll up in their ships in this thing. It's just a bit for like catching. I mean, just what we're used to. We're not used to fishing like huge rivers like that, especially with our little, you know, 12-foot raft just out there making it happen. I felt like I felt like a tugboat amongst all the like
we were literally
steam
like
vessels and everything.
That episode of Winnie the Pooh, we were literally like a stick, you know, just going down the creek when it's flooded.
Yeah.
Like we would try to let them ahead of us, and we would just
we were rowing.
Not even rowing, we just paddle like just draw us right by. But Bailey, you'd never been on the river, right? This river?
No, I hadn't. And I mean, my first impression was I was like, man, how pretty is this place? You know, we pulled up and there's like smoke on the water. The fog was kind of still rolling in, you know, and there's some ducks flying and geese and just a cool experience. You know, it's not far off the interstate, I-75, but yet, I mean, felt like you're in the middle of nowhere. Just really cool spot.
Dude sitting in a camping chair smoking a stogie, man. Just, I don't know. That guy, like,
yeah,
he'd still be there right now. Like that guy, just he was locked in, just watching the river. And so,
couldn't blame him.
Yeah, it was great. And Bailey was there, and Chad comes rolling in with his rig and puts his boat in the water. And we get our little I don't even know what you call it at this point compared to these other boats, but we love it.
Amen.
And it's great for us. We get rolling and, you know, I don't know. I guess we just talk about, we weren't even barely off the dock. This is my dinner, isn't it? And look at my wife. She's bringing me dinner. You don't have to cut that out. I didn't get to eat before you got here. It's all right. It's all good. So, what was it like? We got what, 20 feet, Chad? How far were we off the boat launch before?
Oh, you can see the truck.
Yeah.
It's always a good day.
Yeah, you can still see the truck.
And what happened, Chad? Just go ahead.
Well, Bailey caught the first fish of the day on a squirmy worm, of all things. Was not expecting that at all on the clinch. But it happens every once in a while. But usually those days when we're catching fish on squirmy worms are not the greatest days on the clinch. They're usually the tougher days, harder to find fish, few and far between. But about 20 minutes later, the tables turned, and it just got better throughout the day.
Did it?
I mean, well, for them.
Oh, just speak to the table. So Bailey, did Chad tell you to tie on that squirmy, or are you just like, this is where we're going?
Absolutely. I did exactly what he told me all day long. I think that's why I caught fish. But the funny thing was, you know, I was pretty proud of that first fish. I mean, that's a nice fish.
Heck yeah.
And Chad, and he was, you know, he was excited for me too, but he was not happy about the squirmy worm. And I didn't really understand why. I guess I do now, but I didn't really understand why. I was like, man, that's a good fish. Let's don't be upset about it. I don't care what it hit, you know? So it's kind of a funny start, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Most of the time I run those super bright patterns just kind of as attractors, just to get them to pay attention to the other small fly that I usually have on. But it did, it hit the squirmy. It was a happy, sad moment. Cause the fish really was, I think, there's some photos of it on Instagram, but it was a very pretty male rainbow trout all colored up.
I mean, dude, I hadn't even hardly got my fly in the water yet. And he's hooked up and I was like, this is going to be sweet. Yeah, that was my first, I was like, this is going to be awesome.
Yep.
And it was awesome watching Bailey catch fish all day long. Great time.
Glad you enjoyed it.
Yes. It was super fun.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, so here we are. We're on the clinch, as Chad said. Joshua and I had never seen this river. I went and did what I always do anytime I'm going somewhere new, you know, did a ton of research, started reading a bunch of articles, doing all the things. And I read about the fact that it's got very crystal, and that was the crazy thing for me. We had all this rain, and yet the water was still, I mean, almost gin clear in places in a lot of spots. I mean, it was incredible to me to think about the fact that we were fishing such clear water, but that also makes for sometimes very difficult fishing, very picky trout, trout that are very selective on what they want to eat. And, you know, and that's why I think, Chad, you're saying when it hit that squirmy, we were like, oh, dang it. This is, you know, yay, we got a fish, but this could pose problems for if this is what they're kind of hitting on today. They're not going to hit that often. And so Chad, you tie on a little olive perdigon as well. And Joshua and I are rolling down the river and, you know, we end up getting, we're like beside you for a little while, one side, y'all are fishing the other. We're behind you for a minute. We're in front of you. Didn't matter where our boat was. Every time we turned around, somebody's hooked up on a trout in the boat behind us. And we're thinking, dude, what are we doing wrong here? Like, did these guys say some special prayer they didn't tell us about before they got on the river? Like, what is happening?
I had nightmares.
Yeah, I mean,
last night.
Did you dream about that?
I had nightmares last night.
About the fact that you didn't catch hardly anything?
No, I had nightmares of just Bailey hooking fish. Sure. All night long.
That's a dream, man. That's great to watch your friends catch fish. So, Chad, you're fishing this certain fly, and you're just hammering away. And we finally pull over for a little while. And Joshua and I have yet to get a fish in the boat. And I don't know. We've probably been fishing for a couple hours.
Maybe. You missed one.
Yeah, I missed a decent fish, which I'm you talk about having nightmares. That's what I had nightmares about last night, was that fish that got away. Yeah. But that's the way it always is. So we're floating on the river. You know, these guys are hammering away in the boat behind us. We're trying to figure out what's going on. We kind of stop and pull over for a minute, and Chad comes over as the very knowledgeable guy that he is, and it just shows me, again, how little I actually know about this thing that I love so much. Pulls over to the boat, checks out our rigs, and he's like, oh, dude, you you, first of all, you're fishing, you know, 4X when you should be fishing 6X. You're throwing these flies. Oh, that's a good fly and everything. But here, take these flies. And so I'm like, listen, I'm going to tie this fly on. But I got a fly that I think looks pretty dang similar. And I'm like, so the fact that he thinks that his special fly is going to be something better. I mean, I'm not going to lie, Chad. In my head, I was like, whatever, dude. I mean, I'll try it. And then I'll be dang, dude. The third freaking cast third after cast. Putting that fly out, I hooked up on a fish. And I was like, son of a gun. Like, this is why anybody listening to this episode, always listen to your guide.
That's right.
Like, if you're on a guided trip, don't be an idiot and think you know better than the person who's there all the time. Listen to your guide, because the more you think you know, you find out real quick how little you know. And your guide is always going to lead you in the right direction.
But I wanted you to talk, Chad. Just, you know this river. You fish it often. Without giving up too much detail, like all your secrets or whatever, but just how picky are these fish compared to fish on another place?
The clinch. So I would say for the clinch, what we experienced yesterday was that's normal fishing for the clinch. You kind of have to work a little bit to figure them out, but once you find what they are targeting that day and hitting, then it's cake the rest of the day. But that river does have, it has two other names, and they call it the cinch or they call it the Grinch. I mean, there are days on that river where you can throw 8X and little midges and you won't have a fish for all day. And then there are other days where every other cast you're catching a fish no matter what fly you're throwing. So that is the clinch that I fell in love with, was what we fished yesterday, where I'm having to figure the fish out, go to smaller tippet, change your flies out to figure out what they're eating that day. It can be a very technical river in the aspect of having to change your rig throughout the day to keep continuing catching fish throughout the day. For sure. It's by far my favorite trout tailwater.
For sure. I mean, it was an incredible river, incredible system. Josh and I we've already been talking about making our way back out there again. But yeah, I mean, you're right. We're used to fishing some streams around here that a lot of times it's, you can kind of get it close. You're going to be successful. You know, you don't have to dial it in just right. And it felt like yesterday, I mean, we were having to dial it in perfectly in order to get these fish exactly what they wanted. But like you said, when we did, it's crazy how quickly it changed and how it turned on. So, you know, I caught that fish right after Chad taught us exactly what we should be doing. We floated down and then just continued to watch Bailey catch fish in the pouring rain. And when I say the pouring rain, I mean the pouring.
There were a couple rain. Times.
You mean
a couple of times?
I mean, a couple of times it didn't rain.
I was going to say there was a couple of times it stopped raining. Yeah.
I mean, there was a nice moment when we decided to eat lunch and then it didn't rain at all. And then I don't know why we weren't fishing then.
Yeah, that was the best part. We pull over to eat lunch. Sun comes out. It's a real dumb idea. Nice. It's like, oh man, this is going to be a good rest of the day. And literally minutes after we pull
the anchor up,
it starts. Rough.
But Bailey, I want you to speak real quick, man. How much did you learn from being on that boat with your expert there?
Oh, a ton for sure. And I told him from the get go, I was like, look, Chad, I know nothing. Do not be afraid to coach me and get on to me, whatever it takes. But you know, that's the great thing is I've, you know, been able to fish more and more over the past couple of years is just, I mean, like you were saying, you know, the, how much you learn on a trip like that and the local knowledge, finding someone like Chad that, you know, knows the river, knows the fishery. It's just, it's awesome being out there.
Yeah. Well, it was awesome watching you just keep hooking up. It didn't matter if we were in front or behind. We tried both. We tried to lead. We tried to trail.
Didn't matter.
It didn't matter. We tried side by side.
I can't tell you. I mean, at the point where you guys were throwing the same exact rigs as us, the only thing I could think that it would come down to was how you were drifting your flies. That's it. And there's only one way of me figuring that out is you being in the boat with me.
We thought we were a little fast. I think we were, I don't know. I said that maybe not, but maybe I'm wrong.
Our boat flows faster. I don't know.
We can slow it down. We need some extra weight in the background. I don't know. But regard, maybe we just stink, man. It's really okay, Chad. You can just say you guys were horrible. It's not a big deal. I mean, it's not that big a deal. People kind of have listened to this show long enough, understand. Like, they get it. There are days we have and there are most of the days we have, which are most of the ones where we're not catching lobster. But see, that's what I was going to say. It didn't matter. Obviously, I wanted to catch fish, but I had so much fun floating that river. I think Bailey said this, it never really felt like you were outside of a city at all. It felt like you were really out in the middle of nowhere because it was such a big river and there was a lot of good landscape and ducks and geese all the time. Yeah. It was the first interaction we'd have with a motorboat putting wakes on us. And that was kind of cool. That was the first time we'd seen that in our little boat. So that was kind of cool. But there wasn't really that many people either. That was the crazy. Another boat like us. It was just us and you guys.
That was crazy.
Well, it's because we were the crazy ones being out there and all that.
Hey, I froze to death, and I learned real quick that my little rain jacket I had is a crap rain jacket because it did not keep the water out. I was drenched. So, but man, it was still worth it, and it was still such a great time just being out there. Like I said, it's a beautiful stretch of river, beautiful just area. And it's crazy. I mean, we were literally, I don't know how far outside of downtown Knoxville, but didn't seem like we were very far. And, it was pretty incredible to experience that.
Yep. I want to go back to the raincoat real quick. In true Dad's on the Fly fashion, about 11:30 on Friday night, I was like, crap, I don't know where a raincoat is. I had no idea where it was. I knew I had my waders. I'd be good. Luckily for me, my wife had an old one. She wasn't using it anymore. So I actually borrowed it and it was flipping amazing.
That's good.
But in terms of your situation, at this point, Dad's on the Fly is looking for a rain gear sponsor.
Yeah.
Because Caleb's going to need some new stuff because he was pretty wet and and then he got cold. But
made it fun.
But I want to transition to one of the cooler parts of the day. And I think, Chad, we're going to let everybody tell it from their side at this point, because and I really wish that Chad's wife was here with us too to tell her side, because I think that would probably add to it. But I guess we'll let Chad go first, and then I'm sure Bailey will have some insight, and then we'll have some insight from our boat.
For sure. So as Chad gets ready to tell his story, you know, Chad was gracious enough to just do this. He was, you know, this was not a guided trip by any means. I mean, he just wanted to show us the river, let Bailey get on the boat with him. You know, he didn't charge us for some god fee and stuff, still told us all these amazing tricks and tips and hooked us up. So Chad, thanks to you. But since, you know, it wasn't a guided trip, Chad was also fishing and, fishing like a champ from the rower seat, may I say, like quite incredible I do that from time to time. And usually when I fish from the rower seat, we're getting tangled up and it's a mess. But, Chad, you could definitely tell you had some experience there. So Chad, tell the story of what took place. While you're fishing,
he didn't finish in the rower seat. That's what we're getting to.
Well, that's part of the story.
Man, I thought we were going to pass this story up. Okay.
Oh, absolutely. That's the best part of the day.
Well, it started getting a lot colder and it just was dumping a bunch of rain. And my wife was taking a break because she was cold from fishing. So I took over her rod. You know, we caught a few fish. While in the rower's chair, and we had just re-rigged my rod. I believe I had broken off, or she had broken off, a fly in a tree. So I re-rigged some stuff, and just in a normal drift from the rower's chair, I hook into. Originally, it felt like a log, but then it started moving. Ended up being a very, very nice sized rainbow trout, to the point where I can't fight the fish and row at the same time. So we quickly change position. Bailey actually makes his way to the back of the boat where Kelly was, and Kelly jumps in the rower's chair, and I get in the front of the boat and start fighting this fish. And I start off by fighting the fish with one hand and trying to operate the oars. And then I finally had my wife take over. And I will say I gently instructed her to watch out for the tree we were about to drift into. And like the champ that she is, she was able to maneuver around it and get us close to the bank. And I was able to land that fish, which was about 21 and a half inches. And by gently coaching, I may have raised my voice a little bit. And as y'all stated, you weren't sure. You thought I was going to be joining the fish in the water after I got done coaching her get out of the tree. But everything worked out. And I said my thank yous and appreciations and apologies. And we were able to land that fish, take some beautiful photos of it. And she actually ended up getting a really good release video of the fish, too.
She did.
And if, that Kelly, if you're listening to this, I love you. I'm sorry. you handled that like a champ.
Okay. All right. That was Bailey. I need to hear the Bailey. Bailey was in the boat, so I forgot he ended up from the front to the back in like a 7 minute stretch there. So I didn't forget. Go ahead, Bailey.
Yeah, there was a lot of moving parts there at one point. There was a couple of tense moments, but all is well that ends well. The fish was landed. I didn't have to become a marriage counselor at any point in time, you know, which did cross my mind. So it just made for a good story. It was interesting, but we made it work.
Oh, it was from our boat.
Yeah, I have a totally different.
It was
not totally
a
different,
very interesting,
much different view from ours.
So from our boat, we're rowing. We had gotten ahead of you guys, and I heard Chad when the log took off. Like when the log started moving, I heard Chad go, "Oh crap!" Or I don't even remember exactly what she said, but I just heard kind of you getting loud, and I knew I could tell by the way that y'all played. The best game of musical chairs I've ever seen on a drift boat before. It was quite impressive. And I looked at Joshua. Josh was rowing at this time. I'm like, dude, they got a big fish. We got to get back there. We got to see this thing. So Joshua, puts it in reverse, which you did a pretty good job, man.
Well, we knew we weren't going to catch one, so we might as well see his.
Yeah, we might as well go check his.
That's where we were at this point.
So we start rowing back upstream. And we just got to experience Chad and Bailey and Chad's wife, Kelly. Had a great time in this drift boat, bringing in this huge fish. Chad, I'm going to be honest with you, man. I mean, I know we're going to give you a hard time about the quote unquote gentle coaching that you did with your wife. Well, you probably did way better than I would have done.
I knew that was coming.
If I would have hooked into a fish like that, I would have gone back into like football coach mode and been going off on my wife of like, all right, no, this, you got to do that. Like, and we'd have finally got the fish in, and she might not have talked to me the rest of the day. But you handled that really well. I thought you did a great job of, talking Kelly through how to get you past the tree that you didn't want to run into.
Talking?
I mean, coaching her.
Yeah, coaching is a better word than talking.
Coaching her to how to do it. But, I mean, the crazy thing for me is he basically does a rowing instructional class with one hand with Kelly while he's hooked into a freaking 21 inch fish.
But here's the thing, you were
fighting it.
When I first looked back and you said, look back, we got to get there. I don't even know if he at that point had moved from the rower area. I feel like he still had one hand on the rod.
Yeah.
And one hand on the oar.
For sure.
Well, then when they switch the boat, correct me if I'm wrong, Bailey. It was kind of headed downriver, and it kind of 180'd a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Bailey?
Yeah. I believe that's accurate. Yeah. It all happened pretty fast, but yeah. I wouldn't argue that.
100% happened.
Okay. From our viewpoint, we see the boat turn, which is not a big deal. It's not like we're in any danger. No, it's all good. Chad's fighting the fish. Life is good. And then I see the boat sort of like, they're going to drift into that tree. Like, that's just kind of where I'm at. And that's when the coaching... talking, as you say, the gentle coaching kind of began. And at one point we thought we were going to land the fish with our net.
Yeah, we didn't know what was going to
happen. Then one point we thought Bailey was going to land the fish at the back of the boat. Then Kelly was going to land. I didn't know who was going to land the fish at this point. But when the fish was landed, everything got kind of calm. And I don't know, remember the exact word, but it was like, good job, babe. And she was like, wasn't good 3 minutes ago. Is that kind of what it was?
Something like that.
That's it, yeah.
Kelly gets the award for the day. She got you to the spot safely, got you to where you could land that trophy fish. I mean, it's incredible.
She handled it well, very well.
She did. She did. And then one of my other favorite things about this picture that we got, have you seen the picture that that Chad posted on?
I commented on it. If you followed on last night, I made sure to put that on there. Yeah,
that's great. Yeah, I think my favorite thing about that picture is
you in the background.
Yeah, me in the background. Where as they're taking the picture, I'm yelling at Joshua, dude, let us go. Let's go.
Get I was
out here.
Going.
Get me out of here. Get me out of here. Get me out of here. I don't want to be in this picture. And because how I look in that picture is exactly probably how I was thinking in that moment of, man, dang, why couldn't that be me? So, because that's what I was thinking.
They just had to get some type of glory, right, Chad?
That's true. At least, hey, it's a good picture. You look great in it.
I mean, at this point, folks, if you haven't figured it out, you bring us along, you're going to catch fish. I mean, what? Why would you not want to fish with us? Because you're going to be the ones catching all the fish.
We're apparently not going to catch them all. So,
no. Yeah,
for sure.
But Chad, real quick before we do have some folks that listen to this and actually want to learn something about fishing. It's very few people, but you know, when you're fighting a fish like that in a big river system like that, what were you kind of just running through your mind thinking, hey, where you don't lose that? I mean, you're on 6X tippet. Just real quick, what you're going through.
Okay. The first thing I want to do, the first thing that your main goal is you really want to keep that rod tip up. All right. Cause there is so much structure on the bottom of that river. Those fish just have a tendency to want to dive right into it, which we actually experienced a couple times and had to row back and get the fish from under a log. So just keep that rod tip up high, keep good pressure on it. And when you're dealing with a fish that big on little tippet, you really, basically the fish is in charge. All right. When it wants to run, you've got to let it run. A lot of times that right there is the point where most people will break that fish off. When that fish wants to run, they'll hold onto that line of that rod and then basically their rod will follow that fish and it just, that tippet gets tight and it snaps. So you just have to basically give it some line, let it take some line out of your reel, keep that rod tip up the whole time. If you can reach it, if you can reach that rod above your head, do it. The higher you get, the better. It'll keep that fish up off the bottom. It'll increase your chances of catching that fish. The second thing is your goal is to not tire it out to the point of exhaustion and it won't swim away. So you're still putting a good steady amount of pressure on it. And when the fish is finally done and taking its several runs and you can kind of tell it, it's starting to, you know, you can lead it around. At that point, that's when you can start reeling in the line some. And this is where a lot of people will also mess it up. They will reel that line all the way up till that leader is in that rod tip. That is the worst thing that you can do. That fish will take off. Worst case scenario, you're not in your leader in the loop, could get caught in the rod tip, snap. Anything. There's tons of things that could go wrong with that. So your best bet is the higher you get that rod tip up, pull back behind you, that fish will come closer. And even if it did want to run, you have plenty of line to let it run and do its thing. But the best thing, it really is pressure. The most important thing for landing big fish like that is keep constant pressure. And one scenario we had a gentleman named Nick who works for us now, and we went out on the clinch, and he's usually wade fishing it a whole lot. And he does really well. I see all his fish pictures and stuff like that, but I could definitely tell it was his first few times floating. And whenever that fish would run, he'd drop his rod, basically point the rod at the fish and bring it down to the water level. And probably three or four times those fish snagged a log on the bottom or a fly got caught on the log and snapped his flies off. You just really have to keep that pressure on that rod tip high to keep that fish from breaking off.
Well, excellently done, sir. Total boat. I think the whole boat gets a assist on that. You know, oh, yeah. Bailey playing musical chairs, Kelly doing the rowing. It's a team effort.
I took the picture. I'm not taking any more credit than that.
But Bailey, I mean, I think you kind of saw that, just experiencing that helped you, I think, some with the fish you landed that day too. I mean, that was obviously the big fish of the day, but you landed a lot of good fish, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. I mean, you watch a guy like that, that's, you know, landed so many fish, you definitely learn a lot. And, you know, that's one of the cool things about being out there for sure.
Absolutely. You know, Chad, I mean, you make such a good point. In fly fishing, it's just a lot different than, you know, conventional gear. And, you know, if you're catching bass off a boat in a lake, you know, you catch bass off a boat in a lake, it's, you hook up, your goal is to get them to the boat as quick as you can, because the more time they're in the water, the more likely something's bad to happen. Yep. You know, when you're hooking big trout like this on a fly, it's actually a lot more than that. It's like you said, the fish is in control. And so you kind of let the, especially a big fish like that, you let them kind of steer it around a little bit till you get them to the point where you can bring them in, and keeping that rod tip up, keeping that tension, keeping tight to that fish is so important. And it's a good reminder, especially when you hook into some big fish, which
you finally caught one.
We finally made that happen.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
not as big as Chad's.
No, it wasn't. It was a good fish though.
It
was the fish you needed.
That fish was what I needed to keep me coming back. Not that I wouldn't go back anyway, but you know how, like when you play golf back in the days when I used to play golf, which doesn't really happen anymore.
Bailey plays some golf.
I know Bailey's all about some golf, but you know how, like, you can play a really crappy round of golf, but it never fails on like the 18th. You hit like the perfect drive and the perfect approach, and you sink a putt.
No, you four putt it.
Or you maybe four putt it. But either way, like, you hit like that great shot at the end of the day, and you're like, okay, yeah, I can do this. I can keep coming back. And that's what that fish was for me. Like, hooking into that, it was probably like a 16 inch or something, like 16 inch rainbow. Beautiful fish. A lot of fun. Gave up a great fight. And yeah, man, I mean, I needed that fish on that day. It's definitely going to keep me coming back.
I liked it. It was fun. It was a good way to kind of end our day there. And then 4 o'clock came, and for me and Bailey, 4 o'clock was important because we had a big basketball game, and we're fishing. But I was like, look, I'm gonna row here, let you fish. So I turned the game on the turtle box, and I know, sad note for Bailey, but Kentucky ended up winning the game.
Yeah.
And so my question is,
all our Tennessee listeners, they're done now.
Right. No, it's okay. Tennessee will probably beat them in the tournament. It's not a big deal. It was a good game. I mean, we tried to give it away at the end, but here's my, I kind of want to think about moving forward. Since I'm kind of superstitious when it comes to these things, and Kentucky won.
So are we going to have to listen to every Kentucky game on the boat?
I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about just putting the boat in the backyard.
I'm going to come over here for the tournament, and Joshua's going to be sitting in his boat outside with the game.
Or if we get behind, I'm going to go put it on the water. Like, if we get a noon tip-off or something during March Madness, I'll be floating just to make sure we win. Don't you think, Bailey? It's like,
yeah, you got to do what you got to do, no doubt.
I mean, fans got to do what they got to do, man.
That's right.
Wow. Yeah. Love it. I love it.
But we just want to thank you guys for hanging out with us that day, man. Withstanding the weather, Chad, withstanding my 97 text messages about whether or not this was going to be good or not, it was super good, man. We love the camaraderie of getting to hang out with you guys and meet folks, and even just sitting around, you know, me and Bailey at the waiting for y'all to run the shuttle back, just hanging. That's really what this is all about. And I don't know, you guys could maybe speak to that. I mean, you got to catch all the fish. I'm sure it was fun for you, but.
Well, I mean, yeah, that was the only thing I wanted to add, really, Josh, was, you know, like, you guys talk in your podcast about, you know, the fly fishing community and just how cool it is and how close-knit it is. And, you know, I've gotten to know you guys and then getting to know Chad. And, you know, it was a great day on the water, but, you know, it was kind of like forging new friendships and hanging out. And it was just a ton of fun. And, a lot of learning, just a great time.
I agree with that. We just we can't wait 3 years again.
we won't wait 3 years.
Don't worry.
We just need to get them in the calendar and make them happen.
Yeah, once they're in the calendar, it happened. We did want to give you, Chad, a second, and Bailey can probably speak this too now because he's been. But we wanted to give you a second to talk about your new shop before we kind of wrap this up. You got a new shop in downtown Knoxville. We've not featured it yet on our show, but I wanted to give you a chance to talk about it. And Bailey actually came in there, so he might can give a couple things from a customer point of view. But Chad, just tell everybody where the new shop's located.
All right. The new shop in Knoxville is actually on Gay Street. It's 618 South Gay Street, which is actually right next door to the Tennessee Theater. We opened that in January 2nd. And so far, it's done really well. We have our Gatlinburg location, which really, you know, if anybody's wanting to go fish up in the Smokies and Gatlinburg water, whether they're local or they're, you know, tourists visiting the Smoky Mountains, that's a great shop there. But one issue that a lot of locals have is when they're wanting to go fish their local water, you know, that's an hour drive to get to our Gatlinburg store, or a 40-45 minute drive to get to our buddies over at Little River Outfitters. That's just a lot of driving just to go to a fly shop. So we decided to open one up in Knoxville, a little bit closer for all the locals. And so far, that's what we've been able to do, is we've been able to serve a lot of the local fly fishing community, whether it's from, it's been trout fishing, smallmouth fishing gear, musky fishing gear, all the way. We've sold a bunch of saltwater rods and reels and lines to guys traveling that live here that are going saltwater fishing. We carry your typical trout stuff there, rods, reels, lines, even trout flies. But we definitely have a lot more of that big water, big fish stuff, from smallmouth, musky, up to saltwater stuff there. And we hope to keep, serving the local community for as long as they'll have us. But so far it's been really well received, and we're pretty excited to see what summer holds.
For sure, man. So I encourage anybody to go check it out. It's the Smoky Mountain Angler. You can find it. If you want to check it out online, at SmokyMountainAngler.com. Find the shop there in Knoxville. If you're in the Gatlinburg area, go see Chad and go see some of those guys there as well. Bailey, you've been to the shop. What was your kind of thoughts on it?
Really cool spot. I'll tell you, you know, I live in West Knoxville. So one of my, you know, downtown Knoxville, they've done a great job rejuvenating it. But I mean, parking's always an issue. But I was a little worried about going down there and not knowing where to park. But man, I got down and there was three spots right out front on the street. So, I mean, I put, you know, 50 cents in the meter and I was good to hang out in Chad's shop for 45 minutes. So that was super easy. And then walk in, and there's nothing better to me than walking into a fly shop and the fly shop dogs there hanging out, you know, Chad's dog Delta, the chocolate lab, sweetest dog ever. And so cool, you know, to hang out in there with him and Nick, the other guy working the shop. Yeah, they've got a great selection. Chad got me ready for our trip yesterday, and yeah, definitely a cool spot. There's a lot of great stuff in downtown Knoxville, and you know, Smoky Mountain Angler being there definitely adds to it.
Yeah, and folks, if you're in the area, obviously there's some super cool rivers to fish around that area, and you know, Chad's got guides he can put you with. I don't know how much he guides anymore because he's working the shop all the time, but you can definitely give him a shout if you're in that area. They can float you on some rivers. And, you know, if you're headed to the Smoky Mountains, he can tell you how to get in touch with his guys over there too. And, you know, Chad, we want to thank you, man. You were one of the first guys that ever joined our show when we were, you know, when we had four listeners. Now we got eight.
you know,
you were one of those. Say what?
I said doubled in size. That's the way you wanted it.
Yeah, yeah. Right. We doubled in size. You know, went from four listeners to eight. But just thank you, man, for just staying. I just want to thank you guys for coming to that night and hanging out with us when we showed the film. That was just super cool. So we really appreciate you guys.
Absolutely.
That was awesome, guys. I appreciate the invitation to that, too. And also thank Kelly for allowing us to do that on our anniversary. So that was kind of cool, too.
Absolutely.
Kelly's getting some major points on this show. She's going to send this to all her friends. She's going to be like, listen to what my husband said about me. She's going to send this to all her buddies. It's going to be a good time. Before we hop off here, Caleb, we got one thing, and these guys might have we got to let everybody know about, because before this trip, you know that my text messages to you have been all encompassed with one thing. And we're trying to plan this trip in November. And I don't know. Do you want to? It's going all over the map. So we just wanted to throw it out there to the dads on the fly audience, all eight of them, and let them know that I turned 40 in November.
Yeah, you do, you old man.
Yeah, I turned 40 in November. So we are in the midst, or I am really.
Do you think I'm going to plan this?
No, not
at
all.
I'm going to do any planning for this.
But like, all I want for my 40th birthday is to plan my own trip. Is that not nuts?
That's not nuts.
That's just totally me, right?
Great, yeah.
So we're going fishing somewhere, and it's probably going to be saltwater. That's what we're thinking. So we're going to try to book it before, you know, end of April, something like that, 1st of May. We're going to try to have all the details. I've already got multiple offers from different people of where we might can go. We're trying to drag us this way or that way. I've been in contact with guides all over the Southeast, So we're just gonna. I just wanted to give it to the listeners. I'll take your opinions where you've been. I'll read them all. Caleb won't, but you know you're welcome to email, DM us on Instagram. To just, I even made a spread. I started a Google Doc with all our pros and cons list. It's going to be a fun time.
Chad, so you know what you got to experience last week? That's what I get to experience now. You know, as Joshua texts me 30 times a day with, hey, check this place out, check this place out, check this place out, check this place out. That's my text message threads with my brother right now. And that's par for the course when it comes to you planning a trip. So, yeah, I mean, but for real, though, if anybody's got a spot that they've been to, preferably we're looking at saltwater fishing. We live in the Southeast, so preferably somewhere we're thinking Gulf area.
I mean, I'll go anywhere if somebody else is paying for it. Well, yeah, in our budget.
I was just saying, if you have ideas of places you think we should check out, yeah, shoot them to us. We'd love to maybe check them out. And we might go hang out there and probably record a couple podcast eps while we're on your birthday.
It's going to be more
extravaganza.
Than a couple. I think we're going to build it up as the 40th podcast collab, like.
Oh, wow.
Series.
There we go.
And you know, we'll do an airport episode because that's always a winner.
That's always fun.
Me and airports is always fun. Yeah, and absolutely. Then we'll do, and you never know, man. We get something set. We might just, if it gets set in May, we might just throw it out and say, who wants to come celebrate our 40th with us and fish with us? You never know what might happen.
For sure.
So, Bailey, Chad, thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Chad. Thanks, Bailey. This has been a lot of fun. Just recapping this trip, and it's always fun when we get to hang out. You know, that's what I was thinking about this, Joshua, before we started. Like, one of my favorite things about, you know, going fishing is a lot of times sitting around and telling stories afterwards. And so getting a chance to do this with you guys is a good time. And so appreciate you guys for hanging out with us. If you want to check out Chad and his shop at Smoky Mountain Angler, SmokyMountainAngler.com, Smoky Mountain Angler on Instagram, all those places as well, so you can check all of that out online. And
you're trying to read my notes. Is that okay? Let me throw it out there. No? No. Okay. Well, we got one more thing.
Sorry, Josh was trying to throw something out.
Well, we didn't talk about it before. About, you know, we're not gonna normal talk about deal. It yet. So, but yeah, man, just being able to hang with dudes that we met through this is kind of what has made this special. And Bailey, we thank you for coming out and hanging out with us with Chad that day, man. It was a good time.
Absolutely. Looking forward to the retreat in a few weeks.
Yeah, so, man. It won't be long. It's going to be here before we know it. It's going to be crazy. We're already excited about it. Well, thanks, guys. And thanks, everyone, for checking out this episode of the Dads on the Fly podcast. And until next time, tight lines. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Dads on the Fly podcast. We hope this conversation has inspired or encouraged you as a parent or an angler.
To learn more about Dads on the Fly, you can find us at dadsonthefly.com or at Instagram or Facebook at Dads on the Fly.
Yeah, we'd always love it if you leave us a rating or review, as it helps get our word out about the podcast. And if you like this episode, make sure to shoot a message and share it with a friend.